always going to see us through and supersede whatever that situation is right now. Lord, we worship you, God. We give you all of the glory today. We praise your name, God. You are good all the time. I trust in you, God, in every situation, God, in every high time and every low, God. I trust in you, and I believe you're able right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, turn to someone who is not your neighbor, someone behind you or across from you. Tell them how great they look today. Tell them you better get the coats out. It's supposed to snow on Monday. Let them know what's coming. Amen. It's my privilege to introduce Alex Nord for our youth devotional. This young lady is doing great things in the kingdom, sharp as an attack, and we're so thankful for her tonight.
The verse I chose is Matthew 7:7, which reads, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." I've struggled with not thinking God has an answer. No matter what life throws at you or the questions you ask God, always trust in him and that he has an answer for all situations. This verse is a wonderful reminder that God opens doors and makes a way. Thank you, Pastor Johnson and Pastor Isaac, for letting me come up here and speak tonight. This is a wonderful opportunity for the young people in our church, and I'm honored to have given the privilege to do this. All you have to do is to seek after him, and he will be. And he will open the right doors and lead you down the correct path. Always trust and believe in God. He will make a way. Thank you.
Praise God. You hate it, but she has to know that from experience. And you hate someone having to learn that you have to trust in God from experience. I wish we all learned that without having to experience tragedies and difficulties and trials and deaths and all the things that happen in life. As they say, she's got corn in the crib. She's been through some difficult things and has kept her faith. Amen. So, beautiful young lady. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Don't leave her hanging. So, we're talking about, and have been talking about, the gifts of the Spirit. Aaron, the screen's not on. I thought I had it on earlier. I wrestled just a little bit exactly how to walk through this so we cover what needs to be covered. We had some questions, and I want to answer those questions. So if you have questions after I get done and I didn't answer your questions, please ask me and I'll try to cover it in a future lesson. But I'm going to review the gifts of the Spirit tonight. Again, a little bit of an overview format, what they are, what they're for, and what are the different gifts in a group form, and we'll go into individual gifts next week. So 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it, and I'm using the New King James Version, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Eventually, I'll get my tongue in place and we'll do this. It's not on the screen, you're right. I don't have every verse on the screen. So we want to talk about the Spirit and what it's accomplishing through you. I've been in church a long time and wrestle with people wrestling with the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost is doing. And what's the most common phrase that people say when you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, about them, about yourself? Probably the most common that I hear is, you know, I don't know if it's of God or not, and I feel like it's of me, and who am I, and a lot of hem-hawing around about God using you and whether God will use you or not. And we look at ourselves and we see our, except for a few of us, we look at ourselves and see our faults. There might be a couple in the room that you look at yourself in the mirror and think, man, that's awesome. But most of us, when we think about ourselves, we think, well, I wish I was, you know, whatever it is. I wish I was taller. I wish I was thinner. I wish I had more hair. I wish, you know, whatever it is you wanted to wish, you think, I wish I had lots more money. See, yeah, I figured there'd be a couple people in the audience that would nod their head at least. There's a lot of things that you could wish for. And so then if the Holy Ghost is trying to move through you, you kill it. If he's trying to influence you, you stomp it. Because you're looking at you and thinking about you. And I hope we got to where we wanted to go last week. The Spirit is not so interested in you as it is in them. Leave the 99 and go for the one lost sheep. Pray with me, would you? The Lord will help us today. God, we thank you for your word. Amen. The teaching, God, that you give us, the hope that we have. I pray that we would grow, expand our knowledge and faith by your word. In Jesus' great name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. So, I have a question for you. We've been talking about the tree producing fruit. Remember that from last week? Who does a tree produce fruit for? Everyone else. And so you'll have more trees. That doesn't necessarily benefit this tree, but it benefits the future of mankind. You know, if you pay attention in California, they're losing the giant redwoods, you know, 1,000 feet tall or however tall they are, 15, 20 feet around. Cars drive through the redwood forest, and some of those things are dying, and we don't have replacements. There's a disease for the black walnut tree that is killing black walnut trees. And the last known large black walnut tree that was 250, 300 years old recently died, and they had to cut it down, and they cut it up and made tables and whatever they could make out of that wood. Beautiful wood, but there aren't any more in the area because disease has killed almost all of them. So they're trying to capture the seeds from that giant black walnut tree and send them other places that might have a climate that would accept that tree, so the tree would live on. And really, you need to defend the gospel so it lives on. And you need to walk in the Spirit so it lives on. And I want to be really clear. I'm glad the youth is in the room. You guys can walk in the Spirit. You guys can be led by the Spirit. God can move through you. And God, you can pray over somebody and they be healed. All of those things that the Bible talks about, you can be part of that, and you need to believe that God wants to help them. And if you're standing in the room or they're standing by you and they're suffering greatly, then God wants to help them. And if you're standing there, God wants to use you to help them. So don't stand in the middle of a crisis and say, well, somebody else come help. Somebody else show up. I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but Brother Strout passed away early Tuesday morning, and Sister Strout reached over. He coughed or gagged or something, kind of made a noise, and he wears a CPAP. So she reached over to feel, you know, if his cord was tied up and, you know, he's laying on it or whatever, just kind of checking on him, and he was not there. And so she jumped up, called 911, and 911 said, you need to get him off the bed, get him on the floor, and start performing CPR. I don't think she really knew how to do CPR, and she said, I can't. He's a big man, and I don't think I can get him off the bed and onto the floor. I'm afraid I might hurt him. And the operator, the 911 operator, said, ma'am, you're not going to hurt him any worse than he already is. You need to get him off the bed, onto the floor, whatever it takes, and then I'll tell you how to do CPR. And so Sister Straub, in her PJs, is doing CPR on her husband while she's on the phone directing them. And I really, I can understand her saying, I don't think I know how. I don't think I can. I don't think I can get him off the bed onto the floor. I don't think I can accomplish these things. But with her in her ear, she accomplished all of that. And they actually, for a very few minutes, got his heartbeat back. But by the time they got him in the hospital and tried to work on him, they said, we don't think that he's there, and we don't think that we can get him back. The damage is too much. It's been too long, and so he passed away. I don't know how you see the world and the brokenness of the world, but I see it that we're an emergency room. And I don't think you have the option to just stand aside and let somebody die. I don't think you have the option to let broken hearts stay broken without a kindness, without opening your mouth. The Bible says, open your mouth, and God will fill it. I don't think you have a right not to open your mouth. I think, and I know people say, that's somebody else. Let the preacher do it. Let somebody else do it. I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. Don't let the well-spoken do it. He said, if you'll open your mouth, he'll fill it. It might really surprise you to hear what you say. A long time ago, when I was an assistant pastor, I had to do the bulletin, the church bulletin. We printed out bulletins. This church used to print out bulletins. We did when I first was here. We had bulletins. We handed out bulletins, and it was great. You could line your birdcage with it. You put that down in, and, you know, it was great for that, I think. I'm not sure how beneficial they were, but some people really liked them, and so we tried to do them. When I was assistant pastor, I thought, you know what? People say such neat things. I'm going to quote them. And so I had a little segment in the bulletin that said, overheard in the vestibule. And it was something somebody said that I overheard that week. And it's amazing how many really great things that people said. I had a number of people come to me and say, did I say that? I'm surprised. I don't think I said that. And I said, well, that's the way I heard it. I may have cleaned up the language just a little bit, you know, a little bit better statement, clarifying it, but it was exactly the point that they were making. And they were saying the goodness of God and the grace of God and the power of God. And in some form, they were saying that. And they were surprised to see themselves quoted and put in the bulletin. I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was phenomenal. Men, if you just knew, let's do that. Let's record what you say and just play it back. You know all the phenomenal things you say. And if you think, well, there'd be a dearth of phenomenal things that I'm saying, why would that be true? And if it is true that there's a complete lack of phenomenal things that you're saying, change that. You can't talk about the gifts of the Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm just kind of setting it, the lesson up tonight, and go around and say, look, I'm not going to say anything phenomenal. I'm not going to say anything inspirational. I'm not going to say anything positive that would benefit somebody. I can't do that. I would challenge you, adamantly challenge you to say, I don't think that that's what Christ intended. There's not a chapter in the Bible that says, and oh yes, the rest of you will sit quietly and numb, not praying for anybody, not speaking faith into their ear, not laying hands on them. You're going to be the ungifted. Does anybody know where the Bible talks about you being the ungifted? It may be a challenging thought, but I like to do that occasionally. I like to challenge your thinking. And I know we like to operate in our physical gifts. How smart we are, how talented we are. If you're a great artist, you want to paint. But God would move through you for others. And if you don't allow God to move through you for others, where will they get that ministry? I would say, don't you dare wait for me to do all the ministry. That's foolish. That's foolish. I can't lay hands on everybody. I'm not in your workplace when somebody needs prayer. I'm not in the hospital when you happen to go up to the hospital and somebody needs prayer. Or in your neighborhood, when your neighbor falls over and you see your neighbor laying on the sidewalk, I'm not there, and God put you there, and there's a need there. And so, if you need him, call God 1-1, and he'll fill your mouth. That's what he said, right? Man, I thought, just check. Am I at the Pentecostal church in Elkhart? I think I'm a, feels like a swing and a miss tonight. Sorry, I'm calling you out. Let's look the next slide. So the gifts are not for self-exaltation. It's not to benefit you. If you pray for somebody, and I've prayed for a baby, and I've talked about it a number of times over the years, that he's 40 years old probably now, and the doctor said he won't live through the night. And the next morning, the doctor said, well, I don't know what happened, but we're sending him home. 11 o'clock, he's not going to make it through the night. 11 the next morning, they sent him home. He's getting in the car going home, and he's done phenomenal. I've married kids, a whole shebang, and a great guy. That's not me. I don't take any credit. I don't take any credit. But I do give all credit to God. It really is very important for us to understand they're not for us. You need to be moved in the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God to move through you, not for you. It's not about you. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it a little bit differently. Does anybody know what a tree does when there's a drought? Huh? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Winter? Wither? Not necessarily. not until it actually dies. I can't hear you, I'm sorry. Reaches further, harder, and it tightens up. If you cut a tree, and I think most everybody knows this, you cut a tree, there's rings in the tree, and you can tell if you cut a tree down if there were years of plenty and if there are years of little, because the rings are different widths. And if you've got a lot of access to resources and sunny days and lots of water and whatever, minerals in the ground, then the rings are big and wide. But if you go through 5 years of a drought and you only get a little bit of water, the tree tightens up. It doesn't grow that much during that time. It may not put out as much fruit as it did during other times. We had a cherry tree in our backyard in Elkhart. Loved that cherry tree. Some years, I wanted to pile up cherries and put them in baskets in the lobby. We had so many cherries off that tree, but not most years. Most years, it was some cherries. A few years, it was no cherries. I never could figure out what to do to get a big cherry year. I don't know what happened to get a big cherry year, but occasionally we'd get a big cherry year, and some years you'd get a little cherry year. Everything goes through cycles. Everything goes through abundance and lack. You're a living creature. You're going to go through abundance and lack. It's a natural cycle. You're going to have cash in your pocket, feel like you're the king, and then you're going to have no cash anywhere around you, and you can't find cash. And God's still in charge. He's still God. You're still planted in faith. Amen. And we often get upset about different weather patterns that our life goes through. And oh man, oh my, it's a dry spell. And man, I really wonder what's going on and how it's going to happen. I just picked cherries when there were cherries and didn't pick cherries when there weren't cherries. Or a few years we picked cherries and they were nasty, horrific. They didn't taste good at all. Very bitter cherries. So we didn't eat those cherries. It's very simple. We didn't eat those cherries that year. And eventually the tree started dying. And one branch just broke off in a windstorm laying in the yard. And I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know it was rotten on the inside or rotting on the inside. So things happen. And in life, things happen. But sometimes the things that happen have nothing to do with what God's doing in your life. Because you've got a lot of money doesn't mean God's blessing you. Because there's some crooks that got a lot of money. There are some billionaires that got a lot of money that are just crooks. And if you're doing without and you can't hardly buy bread, that doesn't mean God doesn't love you and isn't anointing you and you can't pray. In fact, the Bible talks about, hey, all the widow ladies in the room, it's a difficult time in life, but God talks about the great faith of the woman who gave a widow's mite. I've got a widow's mite in my office, and it's not probably a quarter the size of my fingernail, and that was all she had. And yet God said she had the greatest faith and the greatest gift in that widow's mite. So she was going to get her reward down the road someday. So she was going to be blessed because of that teeny, tiny, little offering. And sometimes we look at and judge ourselves amongst ourselves. Oh, look, they're giving a lot, and I can't give a lot, and I feel bad about it. But according to Scripture, give what you can, and God sees. And we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And God wants you to give it away. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, tongues, interpretation, gifts of healing. All of that is the fruit of the tree being passed on. It's the results of the tree. And the tree, it'll go through dry times, it'll go through plenteous times, and it adjusts itself to the weather at hand. And we got the young people in the room. You have to learn to take whatever it is God allows you to get in life and stick with it. And stay faithful. And stay committed to God. And not let the enemy say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, everything's falling, everything's collapsing. Oh, run away, run away, run away. For whatever it is going on wrong in your life, whatever situation's going wrong, because on your worst day, in your worst time, you may still be able to put out fruit. When life's tough, hard, you still may my wife I've talked about it many times over the years. We're going to talk about the giver of gifts. My wife was healed, and I've never been more broke in my entire life. We were living off $500 a month in Hong Kong. We had 500 bucks to pay our rent. Cost us $450 for a walk up on the fifth floor. My wife was pregnant. The doctor told us, if you go there, you may kill your wife and you may kill the baby and yada, yada, yada. And then we were making 500 bucks a month. It cost me a dime to go teach in the Bible school on the bus. It cost me a dime to go to the college and a dime to go home. It was at our church. There were days that I walked because I didn't have a dime. And I stood and taught men that are now pastors and leading churches. And I don't mean that was a month. I mean, that was the year that we lived there. I never got a raise. I made 500 bucks a month to live off of. I had Isaac as a 4-year-old, turned 5 while we were there. We had Titus born. You got to get diapers. You got to get bottles. You got to get formula. You got to get wipes. You guys don't have any idea. Every adult in the room that's had kids knows. A cheaper time than it is today, but still Hong Kong was very expensive. In order to get that, we bought big bags of rice and cooked like the Chinese did. Big bags of rice. We didn't have a washer. We didn't have a dryer. We actually had a Chinese guy come upstairs with a bag. And we put our clothes in a bag, and he would haul it down the stairs and around the corner a couple blocks away. And we had a Chinese laundry, and it cost us $3 or $4. I was buying jeans, really cool jeans, secondhand jeans. Man, I was cool. And I paid $2 or $3 because they were seconds. But that's what I could afford, and that's what I bought. And God healed my wife completely. Quit telling yourself, because your situation isn't good, or because it's not like you want it to be, or everything's not perfect in your life, or you don't like something that's going on, that God doesn't want to use you. If God can use me without a dime in my pocket, God can use you. So you got, it was thin years. I didn't have a big fat ring that year. If you'd cut me open after that year, it would have been a thin ring indeed. And yet, we saw miracles and God used us and phenomenal things happened. But too many, I'm trying to hit at the heart of your thinking. Too many times we're engaged with the world around us and not the God within us in what He wants to accomplish through our lives. And so He is the giver of gifts and He intends for us to walk in the Spirit and let the gifts that He gives us to be used through us. There's just so many pieces to this. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know that God wants to use you? How do you know? Okay, here's a quick test. Here's a quick test. Does God want to use you? Yes or no? Here's the test. Are you breathing? Put a hand up if you're breathing. And way up, way up. If you're breathing, let's everybody see that you're breathing. Great. You're it. God use you. No exceptions. No tragedy, no trial, no difficulty. God wants to give fruit from the tree to the hungry gathered around it. So the Spirit of God is the source. God determines who receives the Spirit or the gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. Difference of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And you can't compare your gift to somebody else's gift. They're not big because they have some gift and you have a different gift, and they're not important and you're unimportant. The Bible's trying to tell us all the gifts have value. Okay. I'm trying to really keep and capture your attention. You got to think about it this way. You go into the hospital and you've got an acute kidney problem. And the doctor says, well, I'm a thoracic surgeon. I operate from here up. There's no guy to do this part down here. And that's the way the hospitals are getting today. I don't do that kind of thing. Well, it might be one thing in the hospital. Well, we'll call up one. But if you're on the road and you're having trouble breathing, and the guy says, oh, I'm a kidney doctor. I can't resuscitate you. I can't get on your chest and start pumping your chest. I can't do that kind of thing because that's not my specialty. Does anybody want to sue that doctor after you die? You want to sue the doctor? You hope somebody in your family sues that doctor? And because every one of them ought to have a basic knowledge of basic science and basic medical skills in order to help you. It may not be their specialty, but they can help. I think everybody in the Holy Ghost has enough of God to help. And now, it might not be what God gives you to do, but God can use you at times when He's never used you that way before. I preach about a big God on Sunday. What if God uses you in ways that He's never used you before? Men were hesitant to let God do something we've never seen Him do on somebody else. And we talk within ourselves. The conversation is within yourself. You know, I don't know. Am I doing it just for me? Is God telling me to go over and lay hands on them and pray that they'll be healed so I'm a big guy? What? The poor broken guy's down here praying in the altar, and you feel the unction to go pray for him, and then you have a conversation within yourself. Am I trying to be the big guy? Am I trying to be important? Am I trying to be Anybody ever had that conversation in your head when the Lord's pushing you to do something and you're backing up as hard as you can with as many excuses as you possibly can get why God's not going to use you and God can't use you and He shouldn't pick you, and I mean, you're going to back up and back up and back up. And I'm just saying, stop doing that. Let God use you. Step out in faith. Well, what if you go and say, I believe God's going to heal you, and you lay hands on somebody and they don't get healed? Okay. Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to know how many times I've been to the hospital and laid hands on somebody and prayed for them and they died? I'd like to have a conversation with God when I get to heaven. Hey, I wish you'd have backed me up a little bit more. But I realize Paul's dead. Peter's dead. All the apostles. Jesus died. I know he resurrected, but he kind of went up. He's not hanging around here at the local 7-Eleven. And so the idea that God's not going to use you, God's not going to move through you, He's the giver of gifts. The fruit tree does not groan to produce fruit. It pulls it naturally from the ground that it's planted in. Young people, you just got to plant yourself where God's moving. Be in the altar, worship, at home, pray, read your Bible, have a relationship with God. Adults, same for us. Have a relationship with God, and God can use you. I don't know when God's going to use you. That He doesn't say He's going to tell us ahead of time. Sometimes it's in the minute. And when I was a young teenager, I drove by with my mom a house. And I'm telling you the truth, I felt like the Lord told me to stop and go up, knock on that door. And I was not even driving yet. And my mom, I didn't say anything to her. I still remember that today. I wonder what would have happened had I asked mom to stop and go to that door. I've heard stories. Man had the Lord tell him, get 2 gallons of milk. He went and bought, and didn't tell him what he was going to do with it. Tell him, go get 2 gallons of milk. He went and got 2 gallons of milk, and it was whole milk. And then he was driving, and the Lord said, turn left, turn right, turn left, go to that door, and knock on the door. And he goes up to the door carrying 2 gallons of milk, knocks on the door, and says, I don't know why, but I feel like God told me to give you milk. And the lady burst out crying, sobbing. She took the milk, and she had been in the other room praying for her children who had nothing. And they needed milk, little young, small children. And she was praying, God, if you just let them have some milk. And a man comes up with 2 gallons, a preacher, with 2 gallons of milk. And God answered her prayer. I believe you're an answer to somebody's prayer. Let me say that again. I believe you are. You are an answer to somebody's prayer. Amen. I don't know it's this month or this year, but I believe you are an answer to somebody's prayer, because God's Spirit gives us power. God anoints ministry. He intends us to do His ministry. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its savor, wherewith, what good is it? Wherewith it shall salt anything. You might as well just throw it out and let the animals trample it underfoot. So that means you are salt. You are salt. When you're in a situation, you change the situation because you're there. The Holy Spirit determines that He's going to use you if you'll let Him. The only way He can't use you is if you say no. You can't say no. You can, but you shouldn't say no. 1 Corinthians 12:11, next slide. The gifts have a purpose. They edify the body of Christ. So some of the gifts are used in church. We have tongues and interpretation. That's not an unfamiliar thing with us here. And so I'll use that one. We have someone in the room who speaks in tongues, and someone else, often someone else, gives an interpretation. And then we as the church judge whether that was of God or not. I do as a preacher. I test the Spirit, try the Spirit, the Bible says. I listen intently. And I just be honest. If you're standing up saying, "Yay, thus saith the Lord, I want a Camaro. Everybody meet me in the back and give me some money so I can get a Camaro," I'm going to tell you that's not the gift of the Spirit. And if you just wander around in an interpretation, "Yay, thus saith the Lord, I think he meant, I hope he's talking about," it might be that then you're probably not used by the Spirit of God. But how often in my 60 years of being in the church, how often have I seen somebody misuse the Spirit of God? Almost never. That's rarely the problem the church has. Most of the time what we have is, "Oh, it's not me. I can't do that. Is it me? Is it not me? Is the Lord want to use me? Does not want to use me?" And actually, God wants to use us more than he's used us before. I believe that. The purpose of the gifts, do we have that one up? The purpose of the gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:11, "But one and the same Spirit works in all things, distributing to each one individual as he wills." So it does edify the body of Christ. Tongues and interpretation edifies us. It strengthens us. Healing can happen in the church, for the church. Miracles, a word of wisdom. I can't tell you how many times somebody has come up to me and said something that in my mind was absolutely a word of wisdom. Something that they said they felt I had a need, or something encouraging that they could say that fit exactly like a ruby slipper. Exactly on my feet for that exact moment. And we've had Brother Hurt here. He's preached, and God really uses him to do that. He speaks to people, and it's amazing some of the things that he said. He's called out some folks and said something about them, you know, birthing new life, and turns out they were pregnant and they didn't know they were pregnant. They'd just been pregnant a very short period of time and found out after he said that, they went and tested and found out they were pregnant, because that's what that sounded like to them. And how would he know? He wouldn't know. He just came in for one or two services and left. He wouldn't have any idea. So God can do that. He called, remember Lee Fowler, great, great guy, evangelist, did a lot of stuff in our church, through our church. Brother Hurt called him in sometime early May and said, "Hey, Lee, you need to get your house in order. The Lord told me to call you and tell you you have 30 days and then the Lord's going to take you home." And Lee called me as soon as he hung up and was like, "What do you think about this?" I said, "Well, I know Brother Hurt is not always right, but he's been right quite often. And I'm not going to judge that word from the Lord as correct or incorrect. So the advice I have for you, Lee, is you need to pray through. You need to check your closets. If there's anything that you would be embarrassed to show God, you need to get it out of your closet. You need to repent. You need to make sure your heart's right. And if in 32 days you're still on the earth, then you're in a much better shape than you were when this thing started. And at 29 days, he was gone. So you cannot tell me that God doesn't use or speak through people, and God doesn't use a word from the Lord for an individual. And I'm not asking, and I'm not trying to even imply, don't anybody in the room misunderstand me, that you need to go and start telling people when they're going to die, because you may embarrass yourself. You better make sure that the Lord is working through you. I don't mind you checking your own spirit, but God does do that, and God tells us and guides us through the word of the Lord. Sometimes it's through preaching, and you hear the word of the Lord through preaching, and he can confirm the word of the Lord. I had someone in our church at one point said, hey, I asked the Lord to give me 87. If he would show me 87, then I'm gonna quit my job, I'm gonna sell everything I have, and I'm gonna go do something. And so I said, well, how did that work out? And he said, well, I drove home and I saw a bumper sticker, hey, 87 on it. And I saw a license plate, it had 87 on it. And so I saw three things in the last 4 or 5 days that had 87 on it, and I'm going to go in and quit my job. And I said, no, you will not. You need to pick some other, what do they call that when you fleece, you put out before the Lord? Something that wouldn't be common, 87 on a license plate. How many 87s on a license plate are in Elkhart County? Probably a lot more than you would think. It's like you buy a blue car. Everybody's driving a blue car. You buy a pickup. Well, look how many pickups there are out on the road. You know, I bought a green car. I've never owned a green car, never wanted a green car in my life. And before I saw the car, I thought, you know what? I might try a green car. I don't know why. I saw a green car and I thought, I kind of like that. And so I came home with a green car. Do you know everybody's got green cars now? I thought I was going to be cool and have the green car, and everybody's driving green cars. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. It's just bias, our own bias. You see it, you're thinking about it, and then you're going to see it more. So you don't do that with the Lord. You got to try the spirits. Don't do something like that and make a life-changing decision without confirmation. And without confirmation from somebody who has nothing in your decision, doesn't know anything about your decision, outside of your family, in ministry, or a trusted elder in the church that you know God uses him in that way. So, and he also uses it to reveal Christ to the world, that he opens up and uses it for evangelism. It's pretty clear that tongues and tongues and interpretation benefit those who don't believe. The purpose of the gifts, edify the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. And then 12 and 7, 1 Corinthians. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So your manifestation of the Spirit benefits everybody. Doesn't benefit you, but it benefits everybody. Think about it. What would happen if we had an explosion of gifts? An explosion of healing? An explosion of miracles? An explosion of answered prayer? We've had some folks praying and fasting for 40 days for God to move. A number of people in our church have just in the last couple weeks gotten off a 40-day fast because they're wanting God to move in our church. I'm not going to point them out, but wow, I've done a couple of 40-day fasts in my life, and I'm telling you, they're spiritual high points. And I've seen God do some phenomenal things in my life during those times. So the purpose of the gifts, edify, strengthen, encourage, or for the common good, and to confirm the word of God. Mark 16 and 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. So the confirmation comes after you speak. You got to speak, and then God answers. If you don't speak, if you don't say God can heal your body, if you don't say God can save your marriage, if you don't say God can rescue your children, if you don't say, amen, God can give peace. There's somebody that's been in just years of turmoil, a pastor's wife, their family's been in years of turmoil. Today's her birthday. And I text her, happy birthday. And I'm praying that you have a year of peace. I don't know that she's going to have a year of peace. But I felt in the Lord to say to her today, I'm praying that you have a year of peace. And she responded back with hope that peace is on the horizon, that peace is coming in her direction. I'm telling you, if God speaks to you about somebody or something, pick up the phone, call them, text them, send them an email, put an envelope. You know, do y'all know what an envelope is? Do you know what stamps are? Do you know there's actually a government organization that will come by your house? They come to your house. They open up a box in front of your house, and they get what you wrote and you address to somebody, and they'll drive it all the way across the country. I got boxes of cookies in Hong Kong from my mother. I was pretty thankful for them, too. They had a thing called UPS. And they would come, did you know that? They would come to your house and pick up stuff and haul it across the country, and you would be the author of that. You would pay the $12, and they're going to do that for you, or you'll do it for 48 cents. They'll take an envelope, and when somebody gets that envelope and opens it up, I'm telling you, if somebody writes me a letter, a handwritten letter, and sends it to me, Brother Mooney used to always send me a handwritten note. He loved me. He was praying for me. I tell you what. A text, sup, doesn't have the same impact. Someone getting there, writing it out, licking the envelope, walking out to their mailbox. Do we need a class? How many of you, in our young people, all over here, how many of you ever wrote a card, put somebody's address on the front of it, got a stamp, put it on the envelope, and then took it to the mailbox? And if you've got a little flag, put it up. Lily's got the top part of her finger above the pew. I can see barely over there. How many of you have never done that? I'll even ask the adults. You've never done it. Ella? Well, I didn't see your hand up there a little while ago, so I just didn't know. Just checking. What an impact. And you don't know the minute that it's going to arrive. And sometimes that minute is exactly when they needed it. I used to send out stuff all the time. And it would take 10 days to get to southern Indiana. An envelope from Elkhart would take 10 days to get to southern Indiana. Never understood that. But I'd get responses. I didn't know what was happening. I saw that, and it was exactly what I needed in that moment. I'm telling you, God wants to use us. So there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. They're up on the screen. There's 3 revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. God gives you information, and you need it for the moment, or you need it to give somebody, and they need it for their moment. Revelation gifts, God can let you know that guy's a creep, and you need to avoid him. Or that girl will sleep with anybody, and just because she's got her eyes on you doesn't mean you're good looking, doesn't mean you're riding a white horse, doesn't mean you're Mr. Wonderful, because you ought to see the ugly guy she slept with last week. And she's throwing herself at you, and it's not any good for you. I'm sorry, there's a movement on in our society. This is the craziest stuff you could ever see. They're promoting in lots of the news that 3 people can get together and live peaceably, and a guy and 2 women can get married and live together. And I don't mean Mormons because of their religion. I mean generic society, or that you could be happily married and go do whatever you wanted outside the marriage and come back in, you're going to be happily married. I keep seeing that kind of stuff show up in the media, and not in one of the wild magazines. I don't mean pornographic or anything. I'm talking about Newsweek or Time or whatever. I've talked before, I read a large variety of sources in some of the things that I read. And so I'm not picking sources. I'm just kind of reading whatever they're posting in here. And they're posting all kinds of crazy stuff. And listen to me, if you're listening to that or paying attention to that, and they tell you this is acceptable to live this way, it's acceptable to be trans, it's acceptable to be gay, it's acceptable to live in an open marriage, and it's acceptable for 3 people to live together, and you're going to be just as happy, in fact, happier than a monogamous couple, and a monogamy is really outdated and out of style and yada, 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 yada. And they got all kinds of ways to attack what the Bible says. Don't listen to them. That's never been the way the world worked, and the world will never work that way. And just because they put it in the media doesn't mean it's actually true. Yes? So, there's the 9 gifts: power gifts, faith, healing, working of miracles, the vocal gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. We'll talk about each of those in 3 separate lessons. I'll do one a week, one group a week, I think makes the most sense. But there's some real truths that are buried in why God does what he does. Why is an animal's blood spilled and put on the mercy seat? Why did God kill an animal and take its skin in the garden? Why? I know it's, y'all are thinking this way and I'm over here thinking this way. Why? Something had to die. Something innocent had to die. And the life is in the blood. Your life is in your blood. So there's the gifts are operated in love, in order, a couple of verses, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, have not love, I'm becoming a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and have not love, I'm nothing. If you're not doing it for them, for their best interest, you're like a used car salesman who puts stop leak in a leaking engine so it doesn't leak while you're looking at it. But as soon as you get it and drive it home, your driveway fills up with oil because that only lasts so long. And it's a cheat. And you ought not cheat anything in your life. You ought to be open and honest. You ought to be clear with your spouse. You ought to be clear with your kids. You ought to be clear in the kingdom of God. You really need to be clear when you kneel in front of Him and talk to Him. God created me a right heart and a right spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14, 33, God is not the author of confusion. Romans 12, 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And there's unity in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 12, for as a body is one, many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So you're not going to have the same ministry, the same gifting, and even if you have the exact same gift, it's not going to be the same as somebody else. We're all unique. We're all different. Amen. We've got different backgrounds. I've heard God speak with a southern accent. Hilarious. Tongues and interpretation with a southern accent. That's what I grew up on. Everybody spoke with a southern accent, including God. I've heard God speak Chinese. So, I'm telling you, God uses you, who you are, with your ability. We just went through all the minor prophets on our Monday night Bible study. Some of those guys lived with the king. They wore robes and silks and finery. A few of the guys were farmers that pushed cows around in the field. And yet God gave them both a job to do. Some of their writing was beautiful, poetic, and some of it was straightforward, honest, and true. God used everybody. God uses you. Open up. Allow the Lord to do what God wants to do in and through you. Commit to the Lord. God, if you can use anyone, you can use me, the old song says. Amen. And God will. In His time, don't get frustrated. Don't say, well, I wish He would use me this way or that way. That's not your job. It's His job to use you how He sees fit. And He will, if you allow God to do that. If you pray, God, put somebody in my way. God, give me an opportunity. You'll be surprised at what God will do with you. Amen?
Amen. The Lord's always looking for a willing vessel. As our ushers make their way down, just a couple of announcements. On the 16th, after...